I will be reading Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they.
Thank you. Isn't it great, children and youth Sunday again? Let's give everybody a hand. They do a great job every time we have services like this. And so this is a different type of service today, because today is it's a Children and Youth Sunday. It's a New Year Sunday. And, you know, New Year Sundays are interesting as far as, you know, who's going to come, who's not going to come, who's going to be out of town, who's going to be visiting. It's always interesting when you have people from your congregation that visit elsewhere, but you don't have that many people come in that visit from other places. And you experience that with services like this. But we're still going to have a tremendous time today, aren't we? Did somebody say no? Oh my goodness, I heard somebody say, don't go away, Bob, I'm going to use you in a second. Just give me a minute here. So you know that every time we do the Children and Youth Sundays, right, we know we have some type of interaction. And I've been accused that these interactions are kind of encouraging some sort of form of embarrassment of others at times. But that's really not the motive. And so because that's not the motive, we're just going to go ahead and do it anyway. So I'm going to need a couple volunteers as we go through the message here. And let me just think for a moment. Who should I choose to come up? Let me see. Oh, wow, we have people pointing at Bob already. I don't know where they got that idea from. But, you know, no one's heard from Bob yet today. So let's just have Bob come up. Come on up, Bob. Give Bob a hand, everybody. Yes, yes. Thank you for coming up, Bob.
I was going to take a sick day today, and I didn't do it. Oh, man.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and sit down, Bob. We're done. No. All right, what I want you to do is I need you to choose a volunteer from the senior high youth to come up and join you, to help you out.
From senior high.
Senior high youth. Yes, senior high youth.
Oh, sure. Yeah, easy out. That was an easy out. Well, looks like Malia, you're it today. You'll be punished for being bad.
All right. Now, next, let's see. Who else should I choose? I don't know. Maybe somebody who's in charge of other youth areas. Brenda, maybe you should come up, possibly. Go, come on up. Come on up, Brenda.
I don't know. We'll find out.
And you choose someone from your department to come up here and join and help you out with this exercise that you're about ready to do, which I told you about ahead of time, didn't I?
Never.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay.
What's going on, Brenda?
Now, somebody that, I don't know, works with the elementary, somebody that's in charge of the elementary, someone that his name begins with J, I don't know, something like that. Jen, you want to come up and join us, please? She told me beforehand she was just looking forward to something like this and just wanted me to call on her like crazy. No, she didn't. And you can do the same thing. You can choose somebody from your department, please. A lot of people are volunteering each other people. I think the ones that are volunteering others should come up.
Ezra, you have been chosen.
All right, so let's do this. Okay, you two come all the way over here in front of the cross. You two stay where you are. You two come over to this end in front of the chair room here, please. Now, I'm going to go to you and give you your assignment individually, and then you're going to wait until I point to you. I'm going to give you some time to figure out what you are going to do. So, for you guys, I'm going to point to this word. You are supposed to explain this word without using words.
It's like act it out?
Correct.
She's a good one.
Okay. Got it? And the same for you. Now over here, The difference is you guys are going to explain it, but it's not the same as not using words. I don't want you acting this one out because this one's too easy to act out. So what I want you to do is use unintelligible words to describe it. Sound effects. Yes. Yeah. All right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
No.
All right, we're going to need the lapel mic for those that are going to be, I mean, not the lapel, the handheld. Yes. All right, you guys ready? Okay, everybody, attention over to them. There you go. What's that? Carrying the cross? Wow, that's a good one. That's not what it was, but that's good. Very good. Wow, you guys have a way of doing that. Lift. Okay, that's all right. That's not bad. Give him a hand. Good job. Good job. Okay. Now, yes, you guys can have a seat. You guys can have a seat. Thank you very much. Now, because they complained about theirs being the hardest, they're going to go last. So we're going to have you guys go. You guys ready? Okay, now remember, this is sound effects to get you to guess.
No motion.
Correct. Sound effects with no motions.
Plop. Can we please do motions?
Hang on. Anybody have any guesses? Close, dropping, what?
Down.
Falling down, that's close, very close.
Oh, I'm so tired.
All of these we just read in the passage of scripture, just in case you're wondering.
Wait, I really want to do motion.
Yeah, I know you do, yes. They're very close, I think we can give it. Yeah, that was good. Do you have another one?
Do what you did before.
Hey. We got it.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Let's give them a hand. Good job. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Go ahead.
You have to really use your imagination.
Hey, no words. Hey. No words. No words.
You picked us.
Somebody said it, yes.
Who said it?
Who said it?
Yes!
Yes! All right, give them a hand. Good job, guys. All right, so basically what they just did were the three things that are mentioned in this passage that Jesus did and is doing. And the first one is, it's in verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 1. Where he says that he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. He upholds, as they demonstrated, all things by the word of his power. And he made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So those are the three things I want us to focus on today, is the idea of upholds. He made purification for sins. And now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, it's interesting to point out that when we describe that this is what Jesus actually did and is doing. It's not something that he has stopped doing. He made the purification. That's the one thing that he did that is over with. The others he is continually doing. He upholds all things by the word of his power, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, what I want to talk about today the most is the idea of how much Jesus is in charge of everything, which is the purpose of what the writer of Hebrews is saying. The writer of Hebrews is explaining it very clear that Jesus is in fact God. He is in fact the Son of God. He is the one who holds everything. It is all about Jesus. Without Jesus, there is nothing. There is no Christianity without Jesus. There is no good morality without Jesus. Everything comes back to the person of Jesus. Jesus is the center. Now, when he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power, what he means is, what he's talking about there is that Jesus right now in this moment, he's holding everything together. Everything together, he's holding it together right now. You look around the world, you look at everything, and you think, how is everything holding together with everything being as disastrous as it is, with all the wars and everything taking place, all the conflict, how in the world are things being held together? It is all through Jesus. Jesus is the one who's holding everything together. Think about that just for one moment. Just for one moment, meditate on that idea of holding it all together. Used to joke a lot when I was growing up. I used to hear people joke all the time. I even remembered sitcoms joking this way, saying that when somebody came in to pray, they said, "Do you think God's hearing your prayer? He can't hear your prayer. He has wars and all these other things to deal with overseas. You're not that important to him." And then the picture then is painted that here's this God. We have this picture of God, right? This picture of God, he's a very busy God. He has so many things to do. Now, how many people here like to multitask? And how many of you are known as a multitasker? People see that you are a multitasker. Everybody look at my wife for 1 second, please. She loves it when I do this. Now, she doesn't have to verbally say it. She can just shake her head, yes or no. But if I was to ask the question, is your husband a multitasker, what would the answer be? Yes, that is correct. She had no idea I was going to do that either. If you give me more than one thing, I'm done. If I'm ever on the telephone talking to somebody, and if there's any distraction that comes in, any distraction, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, a door shutting, the dog barking, a kid looking at me. That's it. It's over. I have to go lock myself in the room. Other than that, what happens is I turn into that stage on the phone. Anybody here ever been in that stage? Where you don't want to be rude and tell the other person that something else is going on, and you just end up falling into this And then some people have caught that on me before and said, "You're not listening, are you?" Huh? No, yeah, I was. Because I'm not good at multitasking. Now, sometimes I think we picture God in that way. That we picture God as some type of a multitasker, that we don't want to distract him because he has so many things going on. What if right now today you were elected to be the leader of the world? The entire world. You're in charge. Whatever you say goes. What would your things to do list look like on your desk? What would you have to take care of first? What war would you choose to handle first? We like to put God in that mode of some kind of a multitasker, that God's running around, he's up in heaven and he's all concerned and he's saying, "Oh my goodness, I have this war, and then I have this, and then I have this prayer I have to answer, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do that." And we have all this that we put it, but it's not like that in the sense of how we view it, because that isn't how God is handling things. Because remember, God's the one that created this. God's the one who created time. God's the one who put this in motion anyway. But what is he doing? He is upholding all things. We touched on this Christmas Eve, the idea that the reason he's upholding all things, the main reason he's upholding all things, and he hasn't just kind of let go and let it all go and just wipe everything out, is because God is gracious and God wants everyone to come to the knowledge of who he is. Which is why I think it's very important to understand the order in which the writer of Hebrews is saying this. He says, first, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. And the word of his power comes back to creation. If I was to ask you, children and youth only for this, if I was to ask you, how did God create the world? What would you say? Poof? Poof, okay. That's a decent way to put it. Okay, there was just a big poof. What's that?
Time.
Yes, he created time, correct. What did he use to create the world? His hands? Okay. Let me see here. Let me get what you guys are saying right. I want to get this perfect. So what I'm understanding you saying is that God woke up one day and he just went, and he used his hands, had to use his hands, right? He just went poof. Over a span of 7 days. Oh, okay, so it was a poof.
Okay, he doesn't say poof. It's the noise that happens when, like, something.
So he didn't say poof. It's just the natural noise that happens and what he did when he created. So this poof came from a cloud somewhere. No cloud? Okay, there was no cloud. All right. Okay. Sparkle dust? Interesting. Wow, this is really going all over the place here. Man, Brenda, what have you been teaching these kids that are coming up here? All right, so anyway, what did God use to create the world? If you look, and I want this straight from the scripture, not from what you think or what you imagine, straight from the scripture, Genesis chapter 1, what did he use? Words. He used his mouth. Anybody here ever use your mouth before? Anybody ever get in trouble for using your mouth before? I still get in trouble for using my mouth, and I get paid to use my mouth. But it's interesting because God spoke the world into being. When God said, let there be, there was. It happened. See, sometimes we have this picture of God. He's in the shed and he's thinking, okay, here are the plans. I have the plans drawn up and here's the universe that I want to create. And he calls out to one of the angels. He goes, oh, hey, angel, I forgot the 10 penny nails. Can you go get those for me and bring those in? Because I got to work hard and I got to create and I got to. He spoke, which is what the writer of Hebrews is referring to when he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. That when he speaks, there is power. That all God has to do is just speak. It's kind of like my father. He didn't even have to speak. He just had to give me that look. And he had that power. I knew what it meant. He just gave me that eye. And I knew. But all God had to do was speak things into being. So he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And so he's upholding all things. Jesus is doing that right now, upholding all things. And the reason he's doing that is because he desires everyone to come to the knowledge of who he is. And what does that mean? The knowledge of who he is points to the idea that he says next, which is, as Bob and Malia tremendously portrayed to us, the purification for sins. Great picture, wasn't it? I'll tell you this story, and this is one of those stories that I'm not sure I'm supposed to share, so if I'm not supposed to share it, I apologize, but if I was gonna tell you this story, this is what I would say, even though I'm not gonna tell you. Are you ready? I was a kid playing backyard football with my friends. Young kid. You know how young kids are. We don't care about anything. We're just out there just playing football. We don't care. You know, it's at that age of, did you brush your teeth? I don't know, you know? It's kind of that age when you're a kid, you know. And so I'm out and I dive to catch this football and I slide. And I mean, I slid. My friend runs over and he laughs and he goes, ha, 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 ha. Chad just fell in a mud puddle. And he goes, oh, wait, that's not mud. I run home. Dun, 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 dun. Walk in, my mom's sitting on the couch. I said, Mom, I don't know what this is. And she goes, I do. Now, anybody ever had those experiences before? Right? Happens in the shoes sometimes too, doesn't it? Yeah, the shoes. Anybody ever try to clean those out of the shoes? It really can't happen, can it, right? It kind of stays. My mom even had this whole mentality that as soon as that happened, just throw everything away. It's not even worth it to even attempt to clean, right? So think about that for a moment, just for a moment of being dirty, being filthy, in a sense that you cannot get clean. That's what everybody is when we are born. All of us are filthy before God. All of us are sinners. All of us have no business in God's presence whatsoever because of the sin that has separated us from him. And throughout the Old Testament, mankind continually attempted to clean up and continually attempted to make the sacrifices, and it would never work and it was never good enough. And then finally, now I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, left his throne, walked this earth, and said, I'll take all your dirt. I'll take all your filth. Just pile it all on me, and I'll do it for you. Now, if we stop and think about this for a moment, we think about what is happening. I think sometimes, especially in the church world, we get so comfortable with terminology, we get so comfortable with our theological concepts that we forget the amazing part of it. The part that we can't really speak about, the part that we can't even articulate. I mean, if you put this in, just put this into perspective. Think about it just for a second. Here's God, Jesus, leaves his throne, comes to this earth, he dies on the cross, sacrificed, he's dead, he's buried, he resurrects in 3 days, then he ascends into heaven, and now, as been demonstrated, he didn't plop necessarily, maybe he did, but he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, I want you just to think about that for a second, because that is something that we really can't articulate, in my opinion. We really can't explain that. I mean, we can do our best, and theologians have done a great job of explaining that, but we're limited with human terms, because that is something that is absolutely phenomenal. That is something that is jaw-dropping, that we have Jesus, the Son of God, leaving his throne, coming to earth, resurrecting, conquering death, and then ascends to heaven, and now he's sitting at the right hand of God. What in the world? What does that mean? Think about it. That's so powerful. That phenomenon is beyond our understanding, beyond what we can even articulate, that what God is doing and has done and is right now in this moment doing for each and every one of us. Now, many of you know that I've said this several times, that I've been a musician over the years. I was a musician years ago, and I'm not nearly what I was at one point. I wasn't even that much at the one point that I was. But I do love music, and I love playing music. I love listening to music. Anybody here love music? You know, I've only met just a handful of people in my life who absolutely would say they do not care for any type of music. Most of us do. Doesn't, whatever style, whatever type, some of us like, all of us like some type of music in some way, shape, or form. Miranda has pointed this out, that in our home, if music's playing, sometimes she plays it too loud, and I decide to turn it down. And then she pointed out to me about a year ago, she goes, you know, you never have an issue with your music being loud. I was like, oh. Well, maybe it has nothing to do with the volume. Maybe it has to do with the music that I care for or the music that I don't care for, right? But we all like music. Now, has anybody ever got to that one point in a song that you just had to turn it up? Yeah, you just had to hit that volume, whatever part that was. Now, it's for some, it's when the beat kicks in. For some, it's when the singing really hits the high note. But for me, it's when that guitar solo comes on. Because as a guitarist, that's what I live for, is the whole idea of the guitar solo. And then in the 90s, they started taking solos away. Because in the 80s, every song had a solo. Even the ballads and slow ones had a solo. And then they start taking them away. So, you know, I'm on the mission to bring them back. But when I hear that guitar solo, I turn it up and I am just, I'm in a lost world. I go somewhere else for a moment. Why do you do that? Why do you turn up the radio? Something is happening, isn't it? Something is happening that is causing you to escape the reality that you face, and you're just for a moment, you're in another dimension, and you're in another world, and you're enjoying the song. Same happens with the musicians as well. You've seen musicians play. I used to do this with the kids years ago about the different facial expressions that these stars have to make, right? especially when it comes to guitarists and all that, they got to have these different facial expressions. Like there's the one facial expression that I would say is the facial expression of, this is so easy, but I'll play it for you guys anyway. And then there's the, this is really hard, but I'll do it anyway. What's happening to that musician in that moment? They are moving into another dimension as well. And the musicians that are here can attest to that, that there's something about. You get to that moment in that song, and all of a sudden the musician closes their eyes, and because they're starting to feel it as well, just as the listener is. But what's happening in that moment? What's happening? We can't even articulate what's happening. It's just an experience that's taking place that we can't even describe in human terms. I would suggest to you that it's the same thing in understanding what Christ has done for us. That it is beyond our understanding. It is beyond our possibility of even describing and putting into human terms. But there's a spiritual connection taking place when we realize the truth of who Christ is, what he did, and what he currently is doing for us in this moment. It is beyond us, and it becomes mind-blowing. Which leads me to the question for today. The reason I ask this question is because I can't tell you how many times I have heard when I've asked teens and kids of different ages, middle school teens, I've asked them, how did you come to know Christ? Or when I ask adults, how did you come to know Christ? The answer typically is almost the same every time. I remember when I was in college, we're sitting around at a Bible study and we're all explaining how we came to know Christ, and almost everyone said the exact same thing. It was just funny listening to it. Everybody's saying, well, you know, I've been around the church my whole life, grew up in the church, but I never really was saved until I was about 15. That was when I started getting serious about it. Before then, you know, I was just kind of playing the game and I was just doing the right thing and everybody thought I was right, but everybody thought I was good and I was following Christ, but the reality was that I wasn't. So the question for today is, have you come to the place in your life where you have started to take your walk with Christ seriously? Not just coming to church, not just enjoying the activities that a church has, not just coming and participating in worship, but I mean to the point where you are actually saying, this is what I want. I desire to serve Christ. Because what's happening in that moment is you are realizing the same thing that the writer of Hebrews realized, is that Christ was the one who purified all sin so that you can have relationship with him. He holds all things together and he's seated at the right hand of God right now on your behalf, and he wants you to come to that knowledge of him right now in this moment. And what I would say to every single person in this place, we're focused on the children and youth, but I would say all the way up, all adults, I'll never forget in my very first church when we had an 86-year-old accept Christ for the very first time. It's not limited to age. It's not limited to demographic. It's not limited to anything like that. It's something that Christ wants to do in all of us. So I ask all of you, have you come to the place where you take your walk with Christ seriously, where you grasp and you have this connection right now in this moment that goes beyond understanding, goes beyond what you can explain, but somehow you are able to get the truth of what Christ has done and is doing for you right now, and you say, I want that. That's what I desire. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I'll never forget, and you've heard my story before, when I became a follower of Jesus, that moment took place. It was a turn up the volume on the radio moment, was when it just hit me and I just stood up and just came forward. I had no idea even what I was doing. It was like I lost all control of all of my limbs, and I'm walking down the aisle, which I would have never done before. And I'm saying, this is what I desire. The question for today, as we've been going through this series, has been, if Jesus is the answer, what is the question? And this is the final one. And the final one today is, who is the way of salvation? And it's Jesus. He is the only way. So I want to ask you right now, if you would, to bow your heads with me. And in a moment, the worship team's going to come up, but I want the worship team to wait just for a second. And I want the worship team even involved in this as well, is that right now, in this moment, I just want to ask you, would you desire to say, this is what I want for my life? I want to be a follower of Jesus. That in this moment, there's something that is connecting between you and him that is saying, this is what I want for my life. And today, I'm going to follow him. What I'm going to ask you to do right now is courageous. It's difficult. It's not the easiest thing. But if you've made that connection, it's going to be the most wonderful thing ever. But right now in this moment, and I don't care what your age is, I don't care your background, I don't care how long you've been in church or what positions you hold or don't hold, it doesn't matter. But from the young all the way to the elderly this morning, everybody here, if you are at that place where you're going to say, today I'm going to take this seriously and I am going to accept his way of salvation and I am going to become a follower of Jesus. Right now, I just want to ask you to come forward and kneel at the steps that we have up here. We will wait for you, and everyone here will be encouraging you on, I can guarantee you. Right now, in this moment, don't wait on anybody else. You just say, Jesus, this is what I want. This is what I desire.